And then the third kind of self-degradation or discouragement is in relationship to the basis, which is thinking, you know, that me, you know, my potential, I don't have any potential. You know, as the basis for Buddhahood, I don't have that potential. You know, everybody else has Buddha nature, but I don't. You know, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless, everything I do is wrong. You know, we've been through this one before. Remember, everybody hates me, nobody loves me, think I'll eat some worms. That one, okay? So, you know, we just really put ourselves down and think that we are in, you know, in lack potential. Shakyamuni Buddha practiced the path and attained enlightenment, and he was once an ordinary being, but we can't do that. Why? Because there's something inherently unsatisfactory about us. Yeah. So this is one of the real big ones for us, I think, psychologically, is putting ourselves down, thinking that we, as the basis of spiritual attainments, are you know, inherently or intrinsically depraved or deprived or whatever it is. Everybody else has Buddha potential, but not me. And that's rubbish, you know. It's just pure and total rubbish. And so here, it's really important in to overcome this, you know, first of all, to recognize that all that low self-image, low self-esteem, it is not an externally existent object. It is just thoughts. I mean, self-esteem, self-image is nothing more than thoughts. There's no external objective thing. Self-image is only thoughts. And yet, whatever we think of as our self-image, we think is some real existent entity, this is who I am inherently. It's all thoughts. So we really have to begin to recognize this and throw out the thoughts that are unrealistic and throw out the thoughts that put ourselves down. In other words, not believing everything we think. Like little Tyrone, who thought he couldn't read. You know, we have to look at all the, you know, parts of ourselves, like Tyrone, who think I can't do this and I'm capable of that and I can't practice this and, you know, I'll never get anywhere, and really throw those things out, because that's really what impedes us. So some things to help us overcome that is to look back and see the progress that we have made. You know, to really look back a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years and see the progress we've made and rejoice at that, because that gives us some kind of feeling that, yes, we can progress. It's also very helpful to read the biographies of some of the practitioners. Now, so read a the songs of Milarepa, 1,000 songs, 100,000 songs of Milarepa. Read that, you know, hear about his life and see how he practiced. It really gives you some kind of energy. There's another really nice book called Women of Wisdom, where she did some research about female practitioners and you know, what they did and their stories in there. And that's really, really nice. So you read these kinds of stories about, you know, previous practitioners, and then you see what they did and what they overcame, and it gives us some feeling that, you know, okay, they lived in a different culture, a different historical time, but, you know, we have advantages they didn't have, and we may have some disadvantages they didn't have, but the same basic ability is there, and we can do it too. So that gives us a lot of encouragement when we read the stories of other practitioners. Any questions about this? We try and just kind of look at what we've been able to do in an accurate way and evaluate ourselves in an accurate way instead of jumping to all these conclusions. We sit, we go to a retreat, we sit one day, we have 4 sessions full of distraction, and we say, I can't meditate, I'm quitting this retreat. Okay, that's unrealistic. So we have to learn to discriminate between, you know, unrealistic and realistic ways of looking at ourselves. And this is in all things we do. And this is one of the reasons why I think low self-esteem is so prevalent is that we don't learn how to evaluate ourselves. And if we spent more time just getting in touch with, well, what was my motivation? What really, really was my motivation when I did that? Then we'd know whether either the criticism we got or the praise we got was based on reality. So rather than just relying on other people to tell us our value as human beings, you know, if we get to know ourselves and understand our own motivations, understand our own capabilities, then we can have some more realistic evaluation there.
I think I see myself clearly.
Uh-huh. Right. So what we have to do is use the instrument we have and kind of begin to polish it a little bit, okay? Because if we start a little bit looking at ourselves more realistically, we may not see ourselves completely realistically, but we get a better idea. And then from that, we get more encouragement. We do some more practice. And by practicing, then we purify our mind. Then we're able to see ourselves even a little bit more realistically after that. And then that leads us to more practice. Okay, so we go step by step. Now, this whole thing is very, very gradual. It's very gradual. Well, one thing that I find really strong, you know, is when we do the Refuge and Bodhicitta prayer, and when we say, by the positive potential I create by practicing generosity and the other far-reaching attitude, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit, you know, all sentient beings. That's a real positive affirmation. That's saying, you know, this is something I'm capable of doing, and the way to do it is through doing the practice of the far-reaching attitudes. So this is something I'm capable of. It doesn't mean that I'm going to practice them all, you know, in the perfect, unimaginable way with all factors complete at the very beginning. But, you know, I can be a little bit generous, and I can be a little bit epic, and I every so often can dredge up a bit of patience. Uh-huh. Yeah. Very much thinking what we can provide, what we can give to others. And also at the end of the day when we do the reflection, not just looking at what we messed up during the day, but looking at what we did do well and really congratulating ourselves. Not developing pride, not I'm so proud because I went to Dharma, you know, I'm so great because I went to Dharma class, but say, oh, you know, I was a little bit tired and I went to class anyway and it was good and I was able to concentrate and I learned something new and I thought about things and, you know, I was using my mental energy in a good direction when I was at class and I thought about things I hadn't thought about. It gives me some inspiration to practice hard and I'm really glad I did that. That's a really good thing I did today. And so really look, or, you know, I sat down, oh, I meditated for 20 minutes. Okay, well, some of it was distraction, but I did sit down, and that's good, and I did keep the continuity of the practice, and I'm pleased with myself that I did do that. And I did say some prayers, and, you know, I did generate some a little bit of bodhicitta, reflected on it a little bit. Okay, so really look at the things we did do and congratulate ourselves. You know, somebody at work really laid into me, and I didn't tear them up afterwards. I actually kind of kept my cool, and I came home, and I thought about it, and I dissolved the anger, and I'm really glad, you know, I'm making some progress. And so it's real important at the end of the day not to just look at, you know, what we didn't do in terms of practice, but look at what we did do and congratulate ourselves. That's this whole practice of rejoicing and dedication. You know, we don't just purify, we also rejoice and dedicate. Very important. Yeah, that's why, you know, the whole thing, why we keep emphasizing motivation again and again and again. Before you do it. Right. And so that's why it isn't just, oh, I went to Dharma class, aren't I wonderful? But it's like, oh, well, I went there because I really wanted to learn something about the path, and I may have not had a real clear motivation, but we said the prayers at the beginning, and I thought about it afterwards, and I got a little bit of bodhicitta in there. Okay? And so we know that it was worthwhile, that we weren't just doing some kind of perfunctory thing for the sake of it, but that there was some thought and good motivation behind what we were doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Motivation is what creates the cause. And like she said, the result is the effect of the action that you've done because of the motivation. Oh, because, well, we set the motivation at the beginning when we do the prayers, and then we do the meditation, and then I reset it again because I think that sometimes people's minds are more calm after the meditation so that the motivation becomes deeper than when they just said the prayers. And then we're setting the motivation for the class, not for the meditation that we just did. We're setting the motivation for the class. And that's why when we wake up in the morning to try and set the motivation, today as much as possible I'm not going to harm others. Today as much as possible I'm going to be of service and help. And today I want to do all my actions for this long-range motivation of becoming a Buddha for the benefit of others. And so we think that at the beginning of the day, we try and be mindful and act according to it during the day, and then at the end of the day, we sit and evaluate, and we, you know, rejoice at what went well, and we dedicate all that positive potential. And what didn't go so well, when we got angry and when we blew it, then we do purification. And then when we dedicate the positive potential from having done purification.
Mm-hmm.
Well, four immeasurable says all sentient beings. And I think the idea behind saying other sentient beings is that by benefiting others, you benefit yourself. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not, oh, of course you do. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't benefit others. If you go on some self-sacrifice trip, then your ability to help others degenerates. Yeah, it's very important, you know, because it's this whole thing, you know, that helping self and helping others aren't two diametrically opposed things. So when we say, you know, I'm going to do this for the benefit of other sentient beings, it's because we benefit through, you know, serving other sentient beings. But it's not, I'm going to benefit through serving you, so therefore I'm going to serve you. It's, you know, emphasizing the you and then indirectly the benefit I get from it. So I think that's why it emphasizes other sentient beings. But it comes to the same point of helping oneself. Yeah. So again, we're coming back to motivation, what you were saying before. You know, if we go into a situation with what can I give, instead of going into a situation with what are all these people going to think about me? What are they going to do to me? Yeah. So we transform the motivation. We go in, what can I give? And the whole situation becomes like we were talking about, a situation that's teaching us and providing us an opportunity. That's why it's so important, just constantly reminding. I mean, I find for myself, because I tend to start looking at this as a drudgery, this is something I can't wait to finish so it's all over, and to keep reminding, well, this is an opportunity and this is a potential. And you know, so we see situations as something to contribute and give to. Okay, so let's sit and let this sink in for a few minutes.